When Orini Kaipara was a young girl growing up in New Zealand, she'd often race to the television to watch the nation's first Maori news presenters.
Well, when I was young, when I was a little girl, I remember watching TV. I'm smiling when I say this. I remember always anticipating watching the news, and it was the Māori news, Te Karere, because of a woman named Tini Molyneux, and she was the idol for many of us young Māori children. I remember watching her at home and at school because she looked like me.
Decades later, Kaipara is now taking the next step in representing the Indigenous people of New Zealand. Last month, she became the first woman to anchor a primetime news broadcast with a traditional Māori face marking. Orini Kaipara joins us now. Welcome to Here and Now.
Kia ora, thank you for having me.
When the announcement was made over the holidays, you said you felt overwhelmed by the response. I can only imagine. How are you feeling now?
It's settled down, so I'm kind of, it's been a crazy whirlwind of a month, I would say, since I'm appearing on the 6 p.m. news bulletin or news show here in New Zealand for News Hub. Yeah, it's been overwhelming in the sense that I didn't really expect so much attention, but it's been a lovely surprise and just exciting. It's kept me very busy over the summer break, I must admit.
Right. A lot of folks want to talk with you about it. Both Māori women and men have traditional face markings. Can you tell us more about them?
Each tribe here in New Zealand, Māori tribe, will have a different sort of take on what mataura or moko kauai is. So moko, tāmoko, and especially on the face, is a birthright. What it symbolises, a deep spiritual connection to your ancestors. So for me, my moko is a physical embodiment of who I am as a woman, but who I directly descend from through my ancestry, through my heritage.
You took this journey to tap into that deep spiritual connection with your moko kauai back in 2019. Can you take us through the process of how you got there, to that moment of deciding to stand proud in your culture in this way?
I received my moko in 2019, at the start of 2019, but it actually was something I had completed the year prior to getting it. So, you know, my life was quite, I felt, was hitting rock bottom, and just internalizing my role and my purpose and refinding myself. That part of that process was actually digging deep into who I am as, you know, the daughter of my grandmother or as the daughter of my mother, and just researching that story. And it just stuck with me, really, the want and the need to get a moko kauai. Now, I'm the first in my generation to receive this, and so that was part of the internalizations, as well as the fact that, you know, how I would be received or perceived by my own family, first and foremost, but by people who have known me all my life and by the wider public. You know, those sort of internalizations are quite hard because we're coming into a period of, you know, trying to reclaim who we are as Indigenous people to Aotearoa. And it's not an easy journey because a lot of that knowledge was wiped out through, you know, through laws and through government forcing a lot of things and taking away a lot of things from Māori people here in New Zealand. And so it's a long journey for every single one of us.
Orini, I want to slow down a beat here because what you're saying here is really powerful. I want to go back to what you're saying about your family and your family's reactions. You being the first person in several generations to get a moko kauai, just tell us, what was their reaction?
Come the day when I did get it, it was powerful. It was an intimate ceremony. It was a 3.5-hour process. By the time it finished and I sat up on the table, there were lots of tears. I had a lot of tears throughout the whole 3.5-hour journey. I saw pride in my mother's eyes. I saw fear in my mother's eyes. I saw fear in a lot of eyes in that room. And it wasn't at, you know, at the kauai itself. It was more what it represents. And I also saw pride and maybe a little bit of relief that it's back now. You know, it's that, it's the strength and the dignity, you know, that you have, that I had that morning, that reflected every single person in the room and all the ancestors that, you know, that we're connected to.
How did you get over the fear of it harming your career?
it crossed my mind the fact that te kere moko kauai may hinder or may jeopardise my role as a newsreader or as a journalist here in New Zealand. But it also crossed my mind at the same time that this is the only country in the world that should actually acknowledge and, you know, will be the place, the one and only place in the world that would accept it, because this is the land where it belongs. You know, those were internalizations. I was like, well, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not doing this for my job. I really pushed that thought way, you know, to the back of my head and thought, no, why am I doing this? I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this for my family, for my children, for myself.
Reminding yourself of who you are and that you're more than just a newsreader. And language is also something you've taken on, now using the Maori language on air for common phrases like coming up and stay with us. I mean, you're restoring through your presence a culture erased. Is that how you see it?
That's quite a profound statement, but yeah, it's only really just dawned on me in the last couple of years. Well, since having this moko kauai, and that's what, you know, the beauty I feel, you know, only less than 20% of our country, of our total population, understand, let alone can speak te reo Māori. So I'm very much aware of that, and it's about trying to strike the right balance in terms of, you know, showing appreciation for the reo, for the language, but also trying to encourage people to be okay with just hearing it. Because right now, I can tell you what, Tania, there's still a lot of resistance to the Māori language here in New Zealand.
Arini Kaipara, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome. Thank you, Tania.